great to worship together. It's great to be together. And it's always a privilege to open God's Word together and to hear from the Scriptures. And today we're looking at Matthew 13, mostly this text. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. We're going to unpack the meaning of the parable Jesus tells in verses 18 and following in the message. Let's give attention to God's word. Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. What person might you identify in your family or circle of relationships that you would say is a great storyteller? You know anybody like that, that really tells a good story and kind of can drag it out and deliver the lines at the appropriate timing? Well, of course, today's passage we hear a life-shaping parable from the very best storyteller, that is King Jesus. And he told a lot of stories. One particular type was this type of story called a parable. Our text relays this story. And today, my best story that I'm going to tell you is the story that Jesus told us. It's the story Jesus gave that's here in this text. And then we're going to look at the explanation that he gave of it in the following verses. Here's the bottom line of this story, I believe. That Jesus is telling us, his followers, how we can live a life of kingdom fruitfulness for him. He's telling about how we can live a life of kingdom fruitfulness for him. The story is ultimately a story of different hearts. And hearts are ways we respond to the word. The word is the seed in the story. And here is the story, just to recap. A sower, a farmer, as some of the versions of the Gospels say it, goes out and he scatters seed. And some of this seed falls along a path, a hard-beaten kind of area, and it's eaten up by birds. Some of the seed falls onto rocky soil, and that's not so much rocks mixed in it as a hard pan underneath and a thin layer of dirt, and so there's no depth. Yes, it springs up, but it then soon dries up. Some of that seed, though, as Jesus tells the story, falls into soil that is thorny, and this may not, as you think of thorns, like you think of maybe trudging through the woods and those things that kind of cut you and whatever, and like, oh no, picture more like weeds, those kind of thorns. Thorns that grow up and all around the seeds that are sprouting up to choke out what is growing so that it stops producing fruit. But some seed falls upon what Jesus calls good soil. And this seed produces an abundant harvest, fruit, 30, 60 to 100-fold. I just want us to think for a minute about a seed and just the amazing thing, almost miraculous, magical. This little thing put into the ground, given the right conditions, produces an amazing return, almost miraculous, 30, 60, 100-fold. That's what Jesus is wanting us to consider. And I hope that if you're listening to this message, you're saying, hey, I want my life to be like that. I want my life to be something that counts in a big kind of way for the kingdom of God, fruitfulness by response to the word. Today we're going to look at, as Jesus works through this, we're kind of framing it around the eventual result and the goal, which is fruitfulness. The king's agenda for us is that we would be fruitful as his followers. And here are kind of four verbs of response to the word that will result in that fruitfulness. And at any point, if you sort of stop and like that's all you do, or you don't move on, you will not be fruitful. There is a sense in which this parable sort of is not like a point in time, although those points matters, but looks at your life over time and continue to hear and respond to the word. There's first the hearing of the gospel. Everybody's got to hear it. If you don't hear it, there's no fruitfulness. But it's not enough just to hear it, is it? You got to hold on to the word by believing. You got to say, yep, that's it. I take it. I receive it. I do believe. Now, there are many people that come to some point of life to say that those words or think those thoughts who are not fruitful, and I would submit you, not even saved. Because all true believing hangs on to the word, continues to hang on to the word in the difficulties of life. Anybody got any difficulties? Right? So this is what the text is pointing us to continue to hang on, to continue to believe, and to continue to respond to that word in hanging on to it. And lastly, there's not just difficulties, there's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of things around us, distractions, things that might keep us from valuing the word in an appropriate way. The word is the most important thing for us to have and to value. Yet, often, as people move through life, they see other things as being more important than it. So it's this highly valuing the word above all that Jesus points to. As he tells this parable of the soils, it's sometimes called the sower, but I would say more appropriately the soils, because the sower is consistent, the seed is consistent, but the soils vary. Each individual person has their own response. And this is Jesus' way of explaining why we should listen to the word and how his followers do listen to the word. And in the God-worked blessing of a right listening, believers bear great fruit. Do you want to have that kind of life? That's the king's agenda for each of us. Fruitfulness is in the story, and fruitfulness is in the explanation. I want us to see this. Sometimes, as we say this, I think we get kind of stuck in the mechanics and don't get to the bottom line, which is other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. It's almost like it's magical, Jesus is saying. And think of that. That can be your life. That can be your life, fruitful for the kingdom. In all of the difficulties that come at us, in all the temptations and distractions that we face, how can we have that fruitfulness? That's what we're looking at today. Fruitfulness is also in the explanation. As Jesus, in that private moment with his disciples, following the time where he tells the story publicly to that large crowd that gathers as he's in the boat there on the Sea of Galilee, the explanation Jesus gives points again to this fruitfulness. As for what, this is verse 23, what was sown on good soil, this is one who hears the word and understands it. Yes, but not just understand it, and continues in holding on to it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 30 or 60, and in another 30. Fruit is incredible. And I want us to then, everybody think, okay, what does fruitfulness in my life look like? Can we ask that question? What does fruitfulness in my life look like? And I would submit to you, here's some ideas on this bearing fruit. One might be, this is fruitful, a deepening prayer life. Seeking God first. Not just prayer, you know, hey, when I'm in trouble, I need to throw up one to see, you know, God help me out of this one. But a deepening life of prayer. That, now that's fruitful. That's fruitfulness. How about this? Character. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. What about courage in difficult situations? Standing. How about compassion for people? That's fruitfulness. How about growth in your life? Not just the same year in, year out, but no, you're moving forward through the Word. You're seeing that growth reflected in your relationships, how you respond to other people. That's fruitfulness. How about serving? Not just sort of taking it in, kind of observer of this whole thing, but no, you're on the field. You're playing the game. You're letting God use you, direct you. Your gifts are putting to use in serving God as He opens doors and opportunities. That's fruitfulness. How about impact? Has anybody ever been influenced for good and for God through you? Well, fruitful is they are. Not because you're so amazing, but you're holding on to the Word, and therefore God is producing that impact fruit. I would submit to you that public confession of Jesus in a thing like believer baptism is a kind of fruit. We got four people today. It's not just that they've received Jesus. Yes, they have, and giving testimony of that. They're standing up and saying, yes, I do believe, and giving public testimony. And of course, the list could go on and on of the Bible terms, categories, words. I hope you're saying, yeah, I want that. Whatever that kind of stirs you or has your name on it in bearing fruit, I hope you say, I want that, Lord. I want that. So what's the bottom line? If you want that, what's the bottom line? Jesus, I believe, is saying here, listen to the Word. Listen to the Word He's saying. Listen to the gospel. Listen to the message of the Bible. Don't discount it. Don't set it aside. Don't think that's secondary. No, the core message, of course, is Jesus and the saving, life-giving forgiveness He offers. But all of the Word is important. Listen to it and be careful how you listen to it. When you show up at church and the message is proclaimed, what's going on in here matters. When you open your Bible and read it, what's going on and how you listen to it matters. When you hear small groups promoted, do you say, hey, I want to get there and learn and grow? That matters. And if you do show up, you're not there to show off what you know or, you know, just to get to know other people, whatever, right? You're there because you want to hear the Word and take it in and apply it to your life. That's how, by that kind of hearing, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously, they all had physical ears. What Jesus is talking about is a response of listening to the Word. When we deal with kids, we quickly know this difference between hearing and listening. Did you hear mommy? And it's like, well, yeah, he or she heard mommy. That's not what we mean though, is it? It's that, did you really listen to me? Did you take it in and pay attention and do and respond to what mommy is saying, right? It's the same kind of thing here with Jesus, as he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Really listen to the Word. Let's look at these four elements of response, these four verbs. Of course, first is to hear the Word. This is why it's so important that people are exposed to the message of the gospel. There's no fruitfulness unless you at least hear it. Of course, you have to respond, but it does need to be heard. Jesus saying the fruitful life of a believer flows from the hearing of the good news of forgiveness and life in Him. And this is what Jesus proclaimed. Jesus, who is the message, proclaimed this message. And the Bible, of course, proclaims this message. And we proclaim the Bible, which is of Jesus. And the message we proclaim is that message too. You are now here today, if you're at all tuned into this, hearing the message. Many of you have heard the message before. As you open your Bible and read it, is the message. There are many places and ways you can hear the message, but you do need to hear the message. Do you hear the message? How are you hearing the message? Well, the heart response today and the heart response in continuing in life, of course, is the response that brings fruitfulness. The response of hearing and believing the message. Look with me at just verse 19 as Jesus is telling the explanation to his disciples. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. Notice that the variable here is not the sower, nor is it what is sown. That is the message. The variable is each person's response to the message, but each person must hear the message, which is Jesus' message, the gospel message. The word is faithfully proclaimed, and you hear it. Soils are like the hearts of people. And each person needs to hear the message. And so we proclaim it. You're hearing it. And that is the message of Jesus. But there are many who are exposed to the message. Some who sit in churches. Some who hear it in the context of the broader culture and world. Many, many people are exposed to the message and don't hold to the message. We all know this. So Jesus speaks here in terms of this parable about holding the word by believing. He explains the meaning of the seeds that fell on the path, only to be eaten by birds. It's a picture of people that get some exposure to the word, but don't believe the word. They refuse to receive the message when they hear it. And of course, a person can go on and on and on many, many, many times rejecting the message, but at some point then receive it and hold to it. And that's what this aspect of the parable is pointing to, the need to hear and to believe the message received. In the explanation Jesus gives, he brings up hearing. Hearing is the issue. Hear, Jesus is saying, to this group of disciples now, not just what he had said to the crowd, but to the disciples, hear then the parable. The disciples had heard it physically. Jesus speaking of a reality of listening. It's the heart reality. Verse 15 up above points to that. And another word for that is to believe the message by hearing. There is an enemy working against heart believing. And in the story, as Jesus explains it, this comes out in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This enemy of our souls is working all the time, trying to get people not to this heart response of believing. And in this text, Jesus is pointing to that. So we are praying that people don't get lured and snatched by this reality of the enemy's work, but rather in hearing the message, they come to hold the message by believing the message and not allow it to get snatched up in their not believing. Let's move on to the hanging on to the world in difficulties, hanging on to the word in difficulties. We in this fallen world, of course, there's a lot of difficulties we face. And here Jesus speaks of the seed that sows into rocky ground. Rocky, again, is not a bunch of little rocks throughout. Rocky is a hard pan of rock and only a thin layer of soil. And Jesus explains in the meaning of these seeds that spring up quickly in that thin layer of soil and then wither and die. This is that some do appear to believe. They get really excited for a little bit, but it's not true believing because they quit when it gets difficult and trouble or persecution comes. Let's look at verse 20. As for what is sown on rocky ground, This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. There's a lacking of depth in the soil of these seeds. There's a lacking of depth in the life of these kind of people. It's not a understanding and depth of response. It's kind of a quick excitement and emotion of response. And all true faith continues. So in not continuing, it clearly proves itself, as the parable goes, to not be true believing. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The difficulties here, notice, are connected to not just the world and its trouble, there's certainly those, but to the word and one's holding on to the word on account of what? The word. So this believing the word and holding on to the word can lead to being neglected, being rejected, being made fun of, being persecuted, right? And when that happens, some may say, well, I'm done with that. I mean, I'm not looking to be less popular because of my holding on to the word. I'm not looking to have life be more difficult because of the word. I'm not looking like if I obey Jesus and things are harder for me. So that kind of situation leads to one saying, I'll stop. I'll stop, and I won't hang on to the word in those difficulties. Of course, that leads to no fruitfulness. And I would say that is an indication of one that doesn't truly have a true saving faith at all. What Jesus then points to lastly, as he identifies the thorn weedy soil, rather, is a threat to the believer's fruitfulness of all the cares of life that can choke out the word. And the answer here is to value the word, to see the word as more valuable than anything else, to value the word above all and in all. Has anyone tried to do a little bit of gardening? Maybe a flower bed, maybe vegetables. Anybody out there give it a shot, right? More of you have than you're raising your hands. And of course, if you've tried doing that, you probably have realized you're going to contend with some weeds. Those things, they grow no matter what. So think of these thorns as like that weed that comes up when you're trying to grow something. And if you're going to have a successful garden, you're going to have to contend with weeds and do some weed pulling. And I would submit to you, if you're going to have a successful, fruitful Christian life, you have to do some weed pulling too. You got to acknowledge, what are those things that are getting in the way? What are those things that are becoming distractions? What are those things that you're valuing too much? What are those things that are lies that the world's telling you? And say, no, I'm going to value the word. I'm going to value my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to value growing in him more than those things. Because if you don't do that, those things will choke out the word. They'll choke out your fruitfulness. You'll be tooling along wanting to be fruitful but not being fruitful, because you're placing those things at a higher place of value than the word itself. This is speaking to all of us. I said today, my best stories are just the story, because this is connecting to life reality. Every single one of us, are we highly valuing the word? As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. There it is, the cares of the world. So all that stuff you got to do because of life can become so overwhelming and anxiety-producing that you're caring more about that than the word. and the deceitfulness of riches. Isn't that interesting? Riches are presented here as sort of having an inherent deceitfulness in them. Not that having riches is bad, but having riches comes with a message that riches are what you need. Or not having riches come with the message that riches is what you need and riches is not what you need. There's the deceitfulness of riches, right? Jesus is what you need. The Word is what you need. So to reject that message that riches is what you need and say, no, I need Jesus above all. I value the Word above all. There's the kind of reset that we need. And interesting that Mark's gospel, as he recounts these kinds of weeds, includes a third one, besides the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And clearly this was in Jesus' original words then, just desire for other things, whatever other things is. Other things as in 3 p.m. today at Gillette Stadium, right? It could be any of the other things. There's all kinds of other things. I'm not picking on that. I'm just saying there's so many different other things. Anything you value more than the Word can choke out the Word and its fruitfulness. And it's by holding on to the Word, hanging on to that Word in the midst of difficulties, highly valuing the Word above all, that fruitfulness comes. This text, it reminds me so much of Matthew chapter 6, which we've talked about the last two Sundays, calling us to seek and trust God first. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. In the context, Jesus is addressing our attitudes toward life needs and money and possessions, which are the very things that are those thorns, those weeds that can choke out fruitfulness here in this parable as well. Now, what do you do if you see this perhaps brewing? Well, you confess it. Lord, forgive me. I've been misplacing these as a higher priority than you. You confess it, and you turn away from anything anywhere that you're valuing more than the message of Jesus and your relationship with Him. You ask God to do a heart reset in you. This is not just the moment, that one time of response to Jesus. It's an ongoing response in the parable, right? There's life that comes and there's temptations that come. But the healthy response to the Word is one that continues to value it. And when we are not valuing it, we do a heart reset to value it. And we hold on to the message of the gospel and the priority of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about responses, application. Here's one. For anyone hearing this message today, Jesus says to you, you're blessed if you believe. But blessed are your eyes, Jesus saying this to his disciples who hear it and believe, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What does that blessed mean? It points to the grace working of God. This is not just all about you and what you do. It's that God is at work. God is at work as the Word is proclaimed. If you're hearing the Word, praise God, you're hearing the Word. If you're holding on to the Word, praise God that you're holding on to the Word. If you're hanging on in the midst of difficulties, even though it's difficult, praise God that you're hanging on to it. And if you're highly valuing the Word, that's a heart work of God, that you desire it. You're blessed in believing. So hear it and thank God that you do. Hold it and thank God that you do. Hold on to it, hang on to it, and thank God that you do and highly value it. That's the response in believing. And if you're here and you've yet to believe, today can be the day that you do believe and hold on to that believing, hang on in the midst of difficulties, and continue to highly value the Word. The Word has this power by the working of God to give us that strength to hang on and hold on and highly value the Lord Jesus. And second application for all of us, do all four of these. Ask God to always help you to do all four of these. To hear the Word, yes, we got to open it, read it, respond and hold to the word and believing and continue believing, hang on to the word in the difficulties that we face, highly value the word as the world throws various threats and temptations and distractions at us. Jesus here is calling for that. As for what is sown on the good soil, this is that response of doing all four. This is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, another case 60, another 30. There's a life of fruitfulness. There's growing in that fruitfulness for each one by the word. Jesus tells this parable to explain why and how his followers listen to the word. And this is the call for each of us so that we have fruitfulness. Hear it now. Hear it in this season. Hear it in continuing to hear and respond to it in the difficulties of life and in the pressures of life. I want to change from individual to collective. We've been thinking about fruitful individual believers, a whole lot of individual fruitful believers holding on to the word can then be a part of a community that is fruitful for the King. Do we want to see Trinity be fruitful for the King's agenda in 2026? I hope you're saying yes, amen, yes. So one is to be in prayer. How do we do that? Well, it's through the word, but it's taking that word and holding on to it and lifting it up to God and asking God to work mightily. This is the King's agenda for us in 2026, and we need to be praying and come out this evening to be a part of that community of prayer. I want to encourage you to do so as we are lifting up all of 2026 to the Lord and continue to pray in 2026 for kingdom fruitfulness. And then value the word. Always value the word. You can do so on Saturday night. How do I value the word Saturday night? Well, one of the keys to Sunday morning is Saturday night. That's a news flash. What's going on at 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Saturday night is predictive of what's going to be going on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. And by getting yourself ready, open, Lord, I'm looking forward to gathering with your people tomorrow and hearing the message of the word. And of course, then Sunday mornings, make it a priority. It's just one way to hear the word, but it is a way we collectively hear the word. And by getting into a winter small group, we got some great groups. They got a lot of room left. So if you're not signed up, I hope you get signed up. If you're leading a group, do some selling today afterwards. Hey, you're in a group yet? Because even if they don't come to your group, you can pitch another group. Let's get into these groups and grow together in winter season small groups at Trinity. Here's another one of fruitfulness for Trinity, kingdom fruitfulness. Everybody's got some gifts, and everybody's got some time, and everybody's got some strengths that they can use. Use those to be a part of serving. Lord, direct me and where you want me to serve in 2026. And one way we all can serve is just show up at our annual meeting, be a part of prayerfully pursuing God in unity in 2026, an exciting opportunity to serve. And then here's one last one. Pray for some people. If you know people that need Jesus, and I know you do, pray. Pray that God would move them to hear and respond to the word and let your light shine before them so that they do hear and see that word put on display by you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, this word, and the word of life and forgiveness in you. Lord Jesus, I pray for each individual person here today and their response to your word. Lord, we pray just that each heart, each person would not only hear it, but hold it, hang on to it, highly value it, and that every believer as a part of Trinity would be growing in this fruitfulness for you and your kingdom, Lord, in character, in impact, in service, in surrender, in power and love. God, we give it all to you. Thank you for the mighty blessing that comes through Jesus, our Savior. and you're working as we hear and receive the message in him and of him. We thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and this response to you, each person, each heart. We commit to you, Trinity God, and the year ahead, and each one of us in this season, Lord, in surrendering to you and taking your word to heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.